This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. With Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Ward. We have a busy second hour to go. We had a lot of fun talking to Chris Lofton last hour. That's up on our website, on the podcast as well, in the or on the WNML app in the podcast section. So if you want to go back and listen to that, we highly recommend it. We have, again, a lot to get to with the face-off coming up in just a moment. Some news updates for you. John Wilkerson in the second half of this hour. And we will be with you until 3 o'clock when Sports Talk will take over this afternoon. And we'll look forward to you joining us as the afternoon goes along. 656-9900 if you would like to hop on the show. And we'll talk some more Tennessee basketball, Tennessee football this afternoon, and there'll be a news item or two that pops up. Hopefully good, because some of it isn't along the way, but we'll find the good in any of it along the way this afternoon. We have good weather, so that's something that we can be positive about.
Yeah, absolutely. It is gorgeous outside. Everybody go out in the front yard, backyard, wherever. Stretch your legs a little bit. Breathe in. Man, we've got dogwoods blooming around. You've got your cherry trees that are blooming, and red buds are popping out. So just kind of look around. Enjoy this sunshine. I'll say this, too. The sunsets the past two nights, they've looked a little different, like not the rainbow colors, but how the sun has been coming through the clouds and it just having this nice little golden glow. It's just been awesome. So try and find those little moments of beauty for everybody that's kind of stuck in indoors and trying to work hard and also balance your kids. I am so thankful that we are not like homeschooling at this point. You know, I mean, we go over little preschool things that Gus would be learning right now, but if I was having to do some fourth grade math, Josh, we would be using wine measurements. I will just go ahead and show you that. Yeah. If mommy has 2 ounces of wine and drinks 1 ounce of wine, how many ounces of wine does she have left? A lot of coffee and wine memes. So shout out to all the parents that are out there doing like fourth through seventh grade math. That was not a bright spot of my life. So reliving that at this point in time would be very difficult. So you guys are awesome. Keep tough. Keep hanging tough.
Yeah, have a long division.
I was decent. I mean, the crazy thing is, for how bad I am at math now, I was actually pretty good. I mean, I even did, you know, pre-calculus and calculus in high school. And it has just, college and my brain cells, it was not good. We killed a few.
I don't know what you're talking about. As we continue here on Sports 180, let's hit the face-off.
You want some?
Head-to-head, toe-to-toe, let's go one-on-one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
Alrighty, Joel, what do you have for us?
There's been a lot of speculation about where Antonio Brown could land, if anywhere. So what about the Baltimore Ravens for AB?
It actually makes a little bit of sense, as you have a franchise with good leadership, a head coach who's very established, you have a quarterback who's really respected coming off an MVP season, you have a family member there within the franchise. I'll still right now say no, but I think it actually could make some sense for Antonio Brown if the off-the-field stuff gets cleared up.
I'll say this, too. They got about $13 million to work with when you look at cap space. So the Ravens, I don't think you're going to have to pay top dollar, obviously, for Antonio Brown, but it looks like if you could get him to an agreeable contract, you got about $13 million to work with. We'll see what happens. I still think it's a long shot, and Roger Goodell is at some point going to enter into the conversation.
In honor of Jonathan Bales attempting to do 2,400 push-ups in 12 hours today, how many could you do in 12 hours?
Let me just go ahead and throw this out there. I wouldn't be doing push-ups for 12 hours because my arms would give out. So theoretically, the longest I could last would be about 3 hours. I think I could get 200, maybe 250 in. But they would be also girl push-ups from the knees. So judge if you want. My upper body strength is not on point.
Yeah, so I've been in the process of coming back from the whole collapsed lung thing. And that's, you know, that's been...
that whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, an issue in some ways. But I still think I could. I think I could bust out like 500. I think if I actually sat down and mathed it out, I think if you gave me a few weeks, I could go past that. But watching him this morning, I watched a little bit of it. He's doing 5 push-ups in like 30-second increments to, I think, not tire himself out too quickly. I think I could actually make a run at something like that for a 500 to 600 push-up day.
Yeah, I believe if the math is correct, it's about 3 1/3 push-up every minute. So if you stick on that pace, you'll hit 2,400 in 12 hours.
Wow.
So there you go. Just 4 push-ups a minute.
Nothing doing there.
Yeah. Is Tom Brady rubbing salt in Patriots fans' wounds by moving into Derek Jeter's house?
I love it.
Inadvertently, yes. Because they already miss him, and it's tough, and they don't have sports anyway right now, so they're following the moves of Tom Brady. So what we really need is Tom Brady, who he owns Yankees hats. We've seen him wear them in the past. We need to see him walking around the grounds of St. Jetersburg with his Yankees hat on.
Yeah, didn't you talk about you might have some Patriots fans that are just implode because they'll be so mad. He's not trying to. I think they're just probably buddies. He needs a place to stay, and Jeter's got a 30,000 square foot house that's up for rent. So I think it's all just circumstance, but I think you used the right word. Inadvertently, he's definitely rubbing some salt in those wounds.
Today is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. Is the PB&J the goat sandwich?
This is hard. It's definitely on the Mount Rushmore. It is a top sandwich. I'm going to have to go with ham and cheese. I think I've eaten more ham and cheese sandwiches. That's what I prefer now. Although both of my pregnancies, every morning at 7 a.m. still doing the morning show, I ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So I'm going to lean towards ham and cheese, but it might be 1A, 1B.
I think it is the goat. Because I think it's the only sandwich that is absolutely always there for you. You can put it together quickly. You're likely most often going to have the ingredients you need as opposed to other items. So I think it's the best. It travels well. There are different things you can do to make sure that it wraps well. So I'm going to put the PB&J at number one on the all-time sandwich list.
You honestly could make it first thing in the morning and eat it way later on in the afternoon, and it's just fine.
Absolutely.
Question on Twitter from our friend Braden Gall. What's your most disappointing sports loss as a fan from your childhood?
This one's quite simple for Josh. Now, at the time, was a bit spoiled because of the 95 World Series win, but I didn't know that was going to be the only one. So looking back, it's even harder. But Jim Leyritz in the 96 World Series, when the Braves have a chance to go up 3-1 with a home run to tie it, they go on to win in extra innings and win the series 4-2. If he doesn't homer off Wohlers, changes everything for the Braves franchise.
I love how vivid of a picture you just painted. That hurt, didn't it? Back when you were a kid.
Bleeping Leyritz, yeah.
I don't really remember having just huge disappointing sports moments, but I will say the most shocking thing and when I was just the most upset was when Troy Aikman retired, when he wasn't going to come back and that announcement was made. People were just losing their mind. So I think that was the most disappointed I was as a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, and I would have been about 12 years old.
There you go. FaceTime right now. I'm seeing a little dance, and I'm thinking about closing the call. So I guess we're all winners when it's PB&J time on National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. Joel Silverberg with the face-off right here. Man, tough losses that stick with you. We can cover that. John Wilkerson might have a few on his list. We'll talk to him coming up at 1:30. We'll get you an update on all that's going on out there in the world with Bob Yarbrough when we come back. You're listening to FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. John Wilkerson, 12 minutes from right now. Joel Silverberg will have a midday sports minute for you coming up at the end of the segment. How about a news update? We go to the man we trust more than anybody, Bob Yarbrough from News Talk 98.7 WOKI, our sister station right down the hallway. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Josh. Do you sincerely mean that?
Yes.
He was smiling on FaceTime, I will say that, Bob.
Yeah, Heather, thanks for the extra information there. I thought I heard a smile in his voice, actually. All right, let's get into the latest with COVID-19 as it pertains to Knox County, East Tennessee, and the state. And as typically we start these segments each weekday afternoon about this same time here on the Sports Animal with the Knox County Health Department and the new numbers. And now there are 85 confirmed cases in the county, which is up from 77 yesterday, 13 hospitalizations, only one reported death so far in Knox County, and 42 recovered cases, which means, again, the people have been released from isolation. We're expecting statewide numbers this afternoon at 3 o'clock. The latest numbers from Wednesday show 2,683 COVID-19 cases. That's up about 444 from the day before, 200 people hospitalized, 24 fatalities across the state, and 137 people have recovered from COVID-19 as well. The Knox County Sheriff's Office receiving complaints, they say, from some people who say they're being pulled over and asked for their letter of authorization to travel. Well, the sheriff of Knox County, Tom Spangler, wants to make it clear that he has not authorized any of his deputies to make these stops and request that documentation. So if this, in fact, has happened to you, you're asked to reach out and get in touch with the Knox County Sheriff's Department. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee says a lot of collateral damage, what he's calling it, to the state from COVID-19. The mental health crisis still part of that damage. And again, we will continue to pass along these numbers for you if you are suffering from depression or anything from as a result of a job loss or just anything connected to COVID-19 or even not connected to COVID-19. A couple of numbers for you. 855-CRISIS-1. And again, the month of April is National Child Abuse Awareness Month. So if you suspect this in any way, shape, or form, the number is 1-800-356-6767.
Yeah, things that we
that's really important too, Bob. As you mentioned, we've talked about with you. Just everybody goes through this in a different way. But if you're struggling, if you know somebody that's struggling, if you just want to make sure somebody's doing okay, check in. Communication is so important. Social distancing is what it's being described as, but you know, really, it's physical distancing. We need to stay social with one another.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the Knox County Mayor Glenn Jacobs said a couple of days ago. He doesn't like the term social distancing. He prefers, as you mentioned, Josh, physical distancing, because he says, you know, the social distancing cuts everybody off, and that's not a good thing. I did reach out to see if, you know, the suicide trend in Knox County from last week continues on. There were 8 cases reported in a 48-hour period, which is about 10% of all the cases from last year. So we had that in a 48-hour period. The Knox County Sheriff's Department says, you know, we'll double-check, we'll recheck some numbers, we'll get back to you, but they did not have any new information to offer as to whether or not that trend was short-lived or if it continues on. But we'll continue to follow that and see what the latest is.
And, Bob, we had Chancellor Dondi Plowman that announced yesterday that the University of Tennessee is going to online classes only through summer school. So all of summer school will not happen on campus, but will happen in virtual classrooms. Just do you have any sort of updates on other industries that are around town that are for sure shutting down, or is it still just kind of a week by week, day by day area that we're navigating?
Yeah, it's absolutely day by day, and in some cases it's hour by hour as the information changes and new information becomes available. I know the Knox County School System is working to get some educational opportunities for its students online as well. The thing is about these opportunities, and they're sending out emails and they're getting in touch with parents about this. If you can take advantage of them, they strongly encourage that you do so. However, these are not required classes or required work that the Knox County students must do online. It does not have any impact on your grades. However, it's for parents who want to continue the education process at home, and hopefully their child, they feel, will not get so far behind in the schoolwork. Those will be coming soon, and Knox County has been very, very forthright with getting that information out to the Knox County school parents.
Bob Yarbrough from News Talk 98.7 WOKI, keeping you up to date on what's going on out there. Before you go, Bob, it was a question we were asked last segment by Joel Silverberg. Today is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. Is it the greatest sandwich of all time? If not, what would you go with maybe for the greatest sandwich of all time?
Boy, You got to have that in your top three for sure. And although I'm just a peanut butter guy, you give me a jar of peanut butter and a spoon and I'll embarrass myself in front of you. I could just go straight up peanut butter. Ham and cheese has got to be up there as well. And I would even throw in the grilled cheese in my top three.
Oh, yes, the grilled cheese.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Those are the three, PB&J, the grilled cheese, and the ham and cheese.
Yeah, I think actually, so the grilled cheese could come down to a little bit more motivation being required. It's probably easier to slather together the PB&J. The grilled cheese is going to take a little bit more effort. I think it's always worth it if you have chili or soup, tomato soup, then you're gonna more likely spring grilled cheese to go with it. PB&J, I put number one because I just said that, one, there's the easy factor. Two, I think it's always there for you. Travels really well.
Yeah.
So I put it at number one.
I have a feeling you like your PB&Js without the crust, too, right?
Oh, no, don't be silly. That's what an outrageous statement. Now, as you can tell at the grocery just 4 days ago, I take my ingredients very seriously.
Heather, I wish you could have seen the intense look on this guy's face as I round the aisle there, and I say, oh, that's Josh up there, and he is staring at the jelly options like I've never seen anybody stare at anything. It was intense, and I hope you made a good decision. I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Hey, you gotta give us some leeway, too. I mean, at the end of some of these days, if you're not walking around in a daze or sort of like a zombie-like state, my hat's off to you, because there are some days my brain, like, you would have been shocked at how inefficient I was cooking dinner last night, and I had a recipe in front of me. It's just, it was not computing.
Right. My brain aches most days in the mid part of the afternoon toward the early evening hours. I have a brain ache that typically sets in, so.
Yeah, Bob, you probably would have thought, though, that I was trying to break down a magic eye poster, if you remember those.
Oh, I love those.
Dude, I didn't know what you were doing. I thought maybe you had zoned out. I wasn't sure you were even conscious, but you had some intense looks going. What was the final verdict? What'd you end up choosing?
Yeah, I went with reduced sugar strawberry, and then I had to pivot to, I typically go creamy peanut butter for the sandwich spreading, but I couldn't find the natural creamy that I was looking for, so I went natural crunchy, which is better for just spooning out. If you're just looking for a few bites of Bob Yarborough style butter crunching, then you go crunchy style. The top layer, when you first open up the jar of the crunchy peanut butter and you get that first layer at the top, there's nothing better on earth than that right there.
Even the smooth style peanut butter, that you open it up for the first, it's so pristine. It's almost like I feel guilty digging my spoon in there, but I still do it.
Yeah, it's a jar of gold is what it ends up being. Bob Yarborough, News Talk 98.7 WOKI, keeping you and us, all of us, up to date on what's going on each and every day. Bob, we appreciate it.
Yes,
and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
You got it. See you then.
Right here on Sports 180, and we will come back and talk to John Wilkerson for the next half hour. Another 90 minutes of Sports 180 is coming up here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We turn into the second half of the show. We're 90 minutes away from Sports Talk beginning, coming up at 3 o'clock alongside Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward. And for the next half hour, we'll have John Wilkerson with us getting ready for Sports Talk coming up at 3. John, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing quite well. I don't know if you happened to see, but last night they replayed games 5 and 7 from the 2016 NBA Finals on ESPN. I think that was the first and only time a team has come back from down 3-1 to win the championship. But anyhow.
Hang on. Let's check out Google.com.
We were actually asked a different question during the face-off about your most disappointing sports loss. As far as a sports win, is that number one for you, John?
Gosh. It would not be number one, simply for the fact that when the Broncos won Super Bowl 50, not only did they get another Super Bowl, which matched any other team in the AFC West in terms of number of Super Bowls for a franchise, but also it allowed Peyton Manning to finish with a winning playoff record. And for all the slings and arrows that have been thrown at Peyton, that was the thing I was most pleased with, that the Broncos won the Super Bowl. He got to finish with a winning record in his postseason career. And so that would be, by just a nose, one step in front of the Cavaliers. But, hey, they were both really wonderful things. And see, and that was the great thing, because it allowed Gus to be born into a world where the Denver Broncos and Cleveland Cavaliers were reigning champions.
I'm sure we will remind him of that very often. Like, you
if
were,
not, I'll yeah. be happy to take over that task.
Yeah, yeah. And that could become, especially in Cleveland's regard, that could become a historical fact that will maybe never be seen again in his lifetime.
That's true, but it happened once.
And John Wilkerson saw proof again last night. You've gotten a pretty good run of championships over the last quarter century or so, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I cannot complain. So, yes, I've been very blessed.
Is that, if you you can do whatever time frame. We were discussing childhood, but is there, yeah, let's just go that route. Is there a most disappointing loss that comes to mind if you go back childhood? The way Braden Gall asked on Twitter was pre-driving age. The one that I gave was 1996, Jim Leyritz taking Mark Wohlers deep, and instead of the Braves being able to go up 3-1, it's tied 2-2. The Yankees win the next two games, and they win the World Series, and that starts a big Yankees run, and it kept the Braves from being able to repeat, and they haven't won another World Series since then.
Yeah, what a big fat slider that was, huh? I would, and the thing is, it wasn't that I was pulling for the Braves. It was that I was so against the Yankees that I certainly felt that pain. And I can tell you this, I got, it might have been the worst argument between me and Mike Keith ever. That was the day after that.
That is hilarious.
Because I had the temerity to say they were lucky. And that was the wrong thing to say to a Yankees fan.
Well, call him up. We'll have the conversation again if you want to. We'll go 2-on-1 in this one.
Sorry.
Yeah, fire away. Anyway, this is what happens when we have three different spots. But so is there one that comes to mind, though, for you, John, of a most disappointing loss, one that stuck with you from John Wilkerson's younger days?
Well, the Yankees, the 76 Yankees, when I was still a fan, when they were swept in the World Series by the Reds, one, loved the Yankees, two, hated the Reds. So that was probably the most painful. Super Bowl XII with the Broncos and the Cowboys. The Broncos have their orange crush season. They make it to their first Super Bowl, and then they get wiped out by the Doomsday defense. And I do think, and anybody who disagrees, I have no interest in hearing it, if replay were in place, let's see, Butch Johnson's touchdown catch would not have stood. It was not a touchdown. Still, they lost 27-10. That wouldn't have helped at all. The only thing that was a potential silver lining down the road, and I mean way down the road, is that the 7 turnovers that the Cowboys forced against the Broncos were wiped out by the 9 turnovers the Cowboys forced against the Buffalo Bills in one of their two Super Bowl matchups. And always appreciated the fact that a Denver morning show sent 9 turnovers to a Buffalo morning show to say thank you for taking the Broncos out of the Super Bowl record book. But yeah, Broncos Super Bowl 12 against the Cowboys, Yankees being swept by the Reds in the 76 World Series.
I don't know about,
so I've gotten over it.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but like I feel like sports affects me more. Like there are things that are harder to take now than ever before when I was a kid. I don't know. I think I watched sports and loved the actual, you know, what I was watching when I was a kid. Now, it's like do or die. I mean, one of the most painful experiences was sitting through the Super Bowl where the Patriots were trying to go undefeated with a whole room full of Giants fans. Because, one, I had talked a lot of smack about Tom Brady was going to win that Super Bowl, and then here comes Eli Manning and the I mean, it was painful, and they would not let me live it down. So I feel like sports way more painful now as an adult than as a kid.
I can see that, especially when you are the only voice in that room that is leaning in one specific way. There's nothing like being a man on, or a woman on an island.
Yeah, so let me get this straight, though, Heather. You're a Cowboys fan, but you ended up having to take a bunch of smack because you talked a lot of trash on behalf of the Patriots and Tom Brady. So you I know you're a Brady fan. We've talked about that a bunch. But you ended up having to take a lot of hurt because of a team that's not even your number one team.
Well, yeah, but that's just because my number one team is doing stuff like signing Aldon Smith, you know, during COVID-19, where we're all just struggling to keep it together on a day-to-day basis. I think the Cowboys are legit trying to kill me, so that is why I have adopted Tom Brady and whatever team he plays for as my number two. But yeah, I got emotionally invested. It was exciting. I wanted to see an undefeated team. Randy, I mean, like just go back and that team was amazing, and I really liked them, and I wanted them to win, and I was with a whole bunch of people that just didn't want them to win. They couldn't even care less about the Giants. It was just that was who the Patriots were playing, so they were all in, and that was and the fact that obviously the Giants being a division rival of the Cowboys and a thorn in their side. I mean, there were multiple layers of that rotten onion, and that's what it was. It was a rotten onion.
And on the opposite side, John, that's why Will West is a Giants fan, because he said he was going to pull for the next team that beat the Patriots. And he still claims to this day that, well, you know, I could have been a Bengals or a Cardinals fan. Well, they weren't beating the Patriots. So let's be realistic here. So he got like a Super Bowl and a half out of it, at least, because he took on the team that was going to beat the Patriots.
Yeah. I mean, as you mentioned, it's not like it was going to be the Browns. It wasn't going to be the Jaguars. I mean, you could just keep going down that list of teams he didn't have to worry about it being. But I also think that, hey, that was a goal he was able to realize and wind up with a pretty nice squad. And as you mentioned, he got to enjoy two Super Bowl wins out of it because they went back and proved it wasn't a fluke.
Heather, we also have this, so it ought to really get you wound up. Apparently, like 8 or 10 minutes ago, Adam Schefter and Diana Rossini reported that the Dallas Cowboys have been in talks, just talks right now, but with the agent of Greg Hardy on a possible veteran minimum deal.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Bring on the creamsicle. Like, let's get a T-shirt going.
Also, forgot to mention with it, belated April Fools. We'll come back here with...
Those were not allowed this year, Josh. It was not allowed.
You bought in, though, and that's all that matters right here on Sports 180.
Let me tell everybody, he sold that hook, line, and sinker to me. You looked me dead in the eyes through your magic camera on your computer, and you sold that. That was very well done.
The eyes told the lies right here on Sports 180. John Wilkerson with us for another segment. We'll get him in on the sandwich debate as well. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We'll continue with John right here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We're with you until 3 o'clock. That's when Sports Talk will take over. Alongside Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Ward. John Wilkerson with us for another segment. We were discussing earlier in the hour with it being National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. I got a message from Dustin Burnett, our friend from Nothing Too Fancy, and we were talking about creamy versus crunchy and said, grinding your own peanut butter, that'll change your life. That's taking it to the next level, I would say. John, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, where would you rank it on the all-time sandwich list?
Goodness. The fact that you always have room for peanut butter and jelly, that tells me I'm not going to put it at the top, meaning my very favorite, but it doesn't fall below number two.
But yeah, versatility is kind of like the jello of sandwiches, you're saying.
Oh, it is. But I'll also say very specifically that for me, it is peanut butter and blackberry jelly.
Wow, blackberry. You don't get that a lot. I would say, do you think blackberry would be number two behind strawberry or further down the list?
Well, I mean, for me, blackberry, it's just like it's a very intense grape. So I love the flavor, love how it pairs. And I also, we always have a jar of creamy peanut butter for Penny, and crunchy peanut butter for me. So crunchy and blackberry, but that's just a that's just a flavor explosion that anybody else should be thrilled to have.
I did go with ham and cheese as my that's kind of my go-to at this stage of my life, but Josh brought up a good point. The versatility of the peanut butter sandwich and the fact that it really does last all day. You could throw it in your work bag, and if you were traveling, you could pull it out 12 hours later and be like, oh, this is still good, and it really is. I do think it's number one.
I think so. My preference would be just probably a turkey sub, but and there are other things that I think are wonderful sandwiches. Grilled cheese would also be right there. So I'd probably have to go Heisman ballot and say that it's either a turkey sub, grilled cheese, or peanut butter and jelly, and I don't think you have to defend your position. But yes, the versatility and the fact that you don't have to go crazy in making sure that it's taken care of, how it's whether it's refrigerated or not, it's just, yes, it will last a long, long time.
John Wilkerson is on here with us on Sports 180, and back to the sports world, we got news earlier today that Derrick Henry has signed his $10.2 million franchise tender with the Tennessee Titans, as ESPN reported that, along with the fact that the two sides, the Titans and Derrick Henry, are still working on a long-term deal, hoping to get that done before the July 15th deadline for franchise players to sign extensions. Now, whether that will happen or not is obviously to be determined, but what do you think of that current situation? Henry has signed the tender, John, but the idea of a long-term deal and what a running back is worth, all of that conversation there in Nashville with the Tennessee Titans.
Well, I think it's a lot of good faith that's being displayed by both parties because, one, the Titans have said from the outset they want to sign him to a longer-term deal. You look at the animosity, especially with franchises and either specifically running backs and or those that get tagged by the franchise. It's kind of like, well, you guys aren't even trying. All you do is tag me and then you don't worry about it. The fact that he signs the franchise tender tells you that he appreciates what the Titans are doing, and I think that it's been very good, very transparent communication between the two parties. So I just really think it's good faith on his part to answer the good faith that the Titans have shown by saying from the outset, we don't just want to tag you and set you over here on the shelf. We want to tag you and then make sure that we can work and get this done by the deadline.
Yeah, and somebody that has watched just the running backs, I do feel like there's a market correction going on with their salaries after Ezekiel Elliott and Todd Gurley signed their huge deals. But what really is fair right now for the Titans and for Derrick Henry? Because he should be paid a lot of money. I don't think the position should be devalued like it's been devalued. But I'm struggling with figuring out what is fair from year to year.
Well, I think it comes down, and I think fair is relative. It's a moving target. There are franchises that wouldn't probably entertain the notion of paying a running back as much as the Titans will, in all likelihood, pay Henry, and that's just because of how they approach that position and who they've had play that position. The one thing that stands out for Henry, he's been a Titan his entire career. He's been very durable. And also, they would not have been anywhere close to where they were last year, being a step away from the Super Bowl, if not for him. So I just think that he's much more valuable to the Titans than perhaps, say, we just saw Todd Gurley get cut by the Rams and released by them. So they signed him to the biggest deal. Ezekiel Elliott got to benefit from Gurley signing with what the Cowboys worked out with him. But I just think that it goes franchise by franchise. And I think for the Titans, Derrick Henry is not only an outstanding player, but he's also been a wonderful part of their franchise and community. So I think that's worth something. Again, I think that you're right on there with the trend. That is, there aren't going to be as many franchises that put as much money into that position as you see the Titans with Henry. But I also think that each one is a unique case all its own.
Yeah, and fans love him, don't they?
Yes.
Titans fans love
Big
Derrick
time.
Henry.
And that is also, I think, part of that. I mean, if this were them chasing a free agent, then I think that there would be fans that would be screaming, you're overpaying. But I also think, I mean, for instance, the Jets went right into the deep end with Le'Veon Bell last year when they had the opportunity to sign him, so I do think that there are some that would get what they think can be a cornerstone they can build an offense around or feature in their offense, But for the Titans and Henry, I think they want him to be under their control as long as possible and reward him for what he has done on the field and off the field.
Well, we also see Jadeveon Clowney maybe reevaluating what is a fair price for him, as it sounds like his price tag is coming down. We asked the other day on the face-off if you thought Jadeveon Clowney would be signed before or after the NFL draft. Just what do you think the market is out there for him, and does it sound like he has his expectations a little bit more realistic at this point in time?
Well, I do think that perhaps the strategy changes, and I think we're seeing more and more that rather than sign the long-term deal or not get the deal that you're looking for, then go with the short-term deal that allows you to prove, one, you're healthy, and two, that you can be a more consistent performer and producer. Then you get the opportunity to get either the bigger deal from the same team that you just played for or go back into free agency. I think the knock against Clowney right now is that he hasn't been consistent. He does have a history of injury, and at this point in time, when you can't, Josh, go through the physicals, you can't have the players checking you out, kicking the tires, pretty much all you can do is video chat and talk about numbers, which I think the Titans are wise to kick the tires on Clowney, but I also think that Clowney might be one of those that has to wait. He'll either agree to a short-term bonus-laden deal or he's going to be somebody that doesn't get signed until they have the chance to see how he is holding up physically.
Yeah, and with Clowney, I do think it helps that Mike Vrabel's the head coach of the Titans and they have the history together in Houston. The inability to communicate the way you normally can during the offseason, that is a challenge for franchises and to me should be more manageable than it seems, at least from the outside, than it has been. But you know, with Cam Newton's free agency, I mean, that's one that for sure has a lot of unknown because of his injury issues the last couple of seasons, including the foot injury that ended the 2019 season very early on. And that's also the quarterback position. So the investment you're making in that spot, it means more, or at least it's different than any other position. I still wonder, do the Chargers get in play there? But you also have questions about the Chargers and others and what they might want to do with their first-round pick. If the Chargers are indeed going to use the first-round pick on a quarterback, if it's somebody that can play right away, well, then what do you have Cam Newton there for? So there are a bunch of questions. Even though the market, it's had a lot of availability, it's actually kind of seemed to close up here in the last, after that run of Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Teddy Bridgewater signing with those teams.
Yeah, we were talking with John McClain yesterday, and he thought that Jameis Winston would probably be the one that gets signed next, simply for the fact that he's probably the healthiest.
Yeah, I think we're losing John there. We'll see if we can reconnect with him real quick. But, yeah, I mean, Jameis Winston, what happens with him? Is he a starter? Is he a backup somewhere trying to rehabilitate where he is as a quarterback? Still young, 25, I believe.
Yeah.
But, what opportunities are there? I thought Chicago kind of jumped a little too quickly maybe with Nick Foles, but they went out and got Nick Foles. So you would take the Bears off the board, and that would have been, to me, a really attractive spot for quarterbacks out there.
Yeah, because you know you're going to get some opportunities. I'm still just completely not sold on Mitch Trubisky. You bring up a good point about Cam Newton. The fact that it's really wild. He can't really have a medical evaluation. I don't know how many teams are calling his manager right now or calling his agent to try and figure out if he would be interested, if they would be interested. But the fact that, you know, if say the Chargers are interested, then are you really going to fly all the way across the country at this point in time during what's going on to have your medical evaluation done? And they're saying that other teams aren't helping out with medical evaluations, and the teams wouldn't even trust it if they did. So you're kind of in this just sort of stalemate where no moves can be made because they don't know how healthy it is. And then piggybacking on your Jameis comment too, I think you're right. I think he, and I heard somebody bring this up before, he needs to go somewhere where he would be the backup and maybe get some playing time, kind of like Teddy Bridgewater had the opportunity to do with the New Orleans Saints, and then just get some development under your belt and see if you can elevate yourself to a starting quarterback again, because the money's going to be there. I mean, look at Teddy Bridgewater and the deal that he signed. I mean, there's still a lot of opportunity for Jameis Winston to make a lot of money as a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, we've reconnected with John as we close out hour number two. John, just any final thoughts you wanted to add on Jameis, what you were about to say there, or the NFL free agency market where it is right now?
Well, we saw such a flurry, and that's normally how it happens, that you see that huge flurry, all the big numbers, and then perhaps the bigger deals get done, in the sense that those that have a greater impact on a roster, as opposed to the headline-making names and numbers that get thrown about. So it's always interesting when you see the signings that then start to trickle in, as well as some of the players that get cut by a prospective team as they manage their salary cap. So it is going to be something that's worth watching, and no doubt about it. With John McClain yesterday, he said he thought that Winston would be perhaps the next one signed, because he's the healthy one out of this group that's waiting to be signed.
John, we appreciate the extra time as always on a Thursday. We'll catch up with you for the Power Poll at the end of next hour. I'm going to go make a PB&J real quick. Hope you enjoy the next hour getting ready for Sports Talk, and we'll talk to you a little bit before 3 o'clock.
Always look forward to Thursdays. Thank you.
John Wilkerson right here on Sports 180, and we do have one more hour to go, 656-9900, if you would like to join us. Coming up, Jeremy Pruitt talking about the importance of leadership within the football team as the players are away from the coaches. You'll hear from him coming up next right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.